A pot-bellied pig that got loose in Eflin last week is now safe in the custody of Orange County Animal Services. The saga of the pig captivated residents all weekend after Animal Services reported it was on the loose and asked if anyone knew the owner. The pig was captured yesterday. It's now safe at the county animal shelter. Spokesperson for Animal Services says they have identified the owner, but they're no longer able to continue caring for the pig. Instead, Animal Services will work with community partners to find it a new permanent home. In local government, Orange County commissioners meet tonight at 7 with a big decision to make. Commissioners will vote to appoint a new board member to fill the seat left vacant by Renee Price after her election to the General Assembly. The four applicants are Horace Johnson, Phyllis Porte-Ascott, Brenda Stevens, and Natalie Zimba. Also tonight, commissioners will consider amending the county's ordinance on emergency proclamations to limit the board chair's ability to declare an emergency for more than 30 days without board approval. That meeting is at the Witted Building in Hillsboro. Meanwhile, the Carrboro Town Council also meets tonight at 7. Their agenda includes a resolution denouncing SB 49, the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights. That also includes several anti-LGBTQ provisions. That bill hits the state Senate floor today. Get the full agendas for both meetings on our website, chapelboro.com. Over to Chapel Hill now, where the town's new planning director, Brittany Waddell, is set to start her new role on Monday, taking over for Colleen Wilger, who stepped down in December after 2 years on the job. Here's Mayor Pam Heminger on Waddell.
Brittany Waddell is coming from Raleigh, where she's the assistant planning and development director. She has 20 years of experience, and she's a Carolina alumni. She said she's happy to come back to Blue Heaven. We're excited. She's excited, and she will be starting with us later this month, and I know she'll hit the ground running, but we have an incredible planning department, so I think it's all going to come together very nicely. Long-range planning is supposed to be part of that position, managing the department, as we have all these different initiatives going on with complete communities and our planning system assessments and ideas for expanding housing that we desperately need in our community. She will be in charge of the flow of all of those kinds of things and how we implement them. Our planning department spends a lot of time reviewing proposals and trying to figure out the best way forward or not for some of these proposals. But the overall big planning is what a planning director is in charge of.
That's Mayor Pam Heminger speaking there. Other Chapel Hill news, the town has received the highest possible bond rating from Moody's and S&P for the 17th year in a row. Officials say the AAA rating allows the town to borrow money more easily at lower rates. Now we turn to the world of energy as more and more solar farms are popping up across the state, including locally. Many of those are built on traditional farmland, spurring farmers to innovate by combining new technology with ancient practices, leading to the rise of something called a solar grazing. Carolina Connection's Sophie Mallinson has more on that.
Hey, Jane, I see you. Hello.
Jane has dedicated her life to renewable energy.
Oh, she was loud as a baby. Come here, Jane.
She works long hours at this solar farm in Roxborough, rain or shine.
She can be quite a handful at times.
Jane is a sheep, and she's one of many that farmers like Johnny Rogers have raised for what's called solar grazing, using pasture animals to keep the grass short at solar farms. North Carolina now has more than 600 solar farms, large plots of land with long rows of glass panels. The sheep reduce the need for lawnmowers.
Anytime you mow, you're using time, labor, fossil fuel. So we're trying to maybe have a more regenerative approach with the grazing than just mowing alone would be.
North Carolina is among the top 10 states for the growth of solar power, so solar grazing is growing too. Putting sheep on solar farms preserves an agricultural use for the land. Rogers says that's important in rural communities where solar farms often replace conventional farms.
Early on, there was a little bit of a clash between agriculture and the solar industry because it's land use, right? So there is this kind of, there's a rub there.
Rogers raises other livestock too, but he says cattle are too big to graze around solar panels and goats' climbing ambitions disqualify them, making the mild-mannered sheep the most popular choice for solar grazing. And with that popularity comes an opportunity. The number of sheep and shepherds in the U.S. has been declining for decades, but now solar grazing is sparking new interest.
Okay. So I'll demonstrate in this group.
In a small barn on NC State University's educational farm, Professor Andrew Weaver is training students in shepherding.
It's science and art. It's the combination of two.
Weaver is developing a curriculum in solar grazing that he says will combine the resources of the solar and shepherding worlds.
Following along with the growth in solar, we need a growth in the sheep industry. And so that's going to take training new farmers. It's going to take helping existing producers learn how to raise more sheep. You know, education is going to be a component that needs to come along with all of this.
One of those newer farmers is Brock Phillips. He's the livestock director for Carolina Solar Services, which has more than 3,000 acres of solar farms and more than 500 sheep. In Orange County, Phillips was tending a flock with a little help from the sheep's guardian donkey, Stella.
She's very sweet, although she's much sweeter to everyone else than me.
Phillips is a modern shepherd. Instead of a crook and cloak, he sports jeans and a baseball cap. He earned degrees to be a chemical engineer, but now...
I was always really interested in energy, and I get to work in ag, and I get to take my dog to work.
Phillips says solar grazing can get more young people like him involved in farming. The cost of buying and operating conventional farms has gone up, so agriculture has become harder to break into. But solar grazing has a different business model. As farmers can keep their sheep on property they don't have to own.
You can actually provide a service and get paid to do it. You can exist on 10 acres as a home farm, but then have access to tens, hundreds, if not thousands of acres of solar farms on which to grow your operation.
And with North Carolina's plentiful sunshine and long growing season, Phillips predicts the state will be a proving ground for the traditional farming industry to play a role in a high-tech, clean energy future. In Orange County, I'm Sophie Mallinson.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on 97.9 The Hill. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. Could be a must-win game tonight for UNC men's basketball as the Tar Heels head over to Wake Forest, looking to snap a two-game losing streak and get an impressive win on their resume. Those have been few and far between so far. Carolina's been strong defensively, holding their last eight opponents under 70 points, but the Tar Heels have struggled to score as well, averaging barely 60 a game in their two losses last week. Carolina had no trouble scoring the last time they faced the Demon Deacons, an 88-79 win in Chapel Hill last month, but the Tar Heels struggled to contain three key Wake players, Ty Appleby, Damari Monsanto, and Andrew Carr. Head coach Hubert Davis speaking yesterday on those three players and the rest of the Wake Forest team.
Well, I think, you know, obviously Appleby's continued to play extremely well. He's one of the better players in our conference, and he's having an all-ACC season. It's a team that... And I don't know what they'll do against us, but over the last couple of games, they've gone small with Carr at the five, and that's made them different in terms of, from an offensive standpoint, being more dynamic in terms of being able to stretch the floor and shoot the ball from three. I feel like Monsanto has become more aggressive. He can really shoot, but like now he's more aggressive, and you combine that with his confidence. I think over the last five games, he's averaging like 19 points a game. And so that wasn't the case the first time that we played them. And so, you know, this is the ACC in February. Doesn't matter whether you're at home or on the road. It's going to be a challenge for us. But again, we're excited about the challenge. And we had a really good practice yesterday. And I'm expecting to have a great practice today. And be ready to play tomorrow against a really good Wake Forest team.
That's Hubert Davis there. Tip-off time tonight is 7 p.m. We'll have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, starting at 5:30 with countdown to tip-off. Meanwhile, UNC women's basketball is down three spots to number 14 in the AP rankings this week after they saw their eight-game winning streak come to an end against Louisville on Sunday. Tar Heels will look to get back on the winning track Thursday. They'll be on the road at Syracuse. Now some good news off the court as UNC just delivered its latest annual financial report to the NCAA, showing UNC Athletics took in more revenue than it spent last academic year, first time that's happened since 2018. $122.6 million in revenue in all. That's a little more than $2 million more than what they spent. Of that revenue, $56.6 million came from the football team, $32.2 million came from men's basketball, and then four sports ranged between $1 and $2 million, baseball, women's basketball, women's soccer, and women's lacrosse. You can get a lot more numbers from that financial report and Michael Coe's story on our website, chapelboro.com.